looking at things that's just been going on this whole week, you know, listening to, like, the thing with Michael Jackson dying and
right.
a lot of other things. You
well,
know,
it's but, a whole bunch of people got about it again, man. What's that dude from the Auntie Clean? What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett left up out of here? Yeah, Billy Mays. That's the guy from Auntie left up out of here, man.
Right.
So we would sit back and, you know, your heart goes out to the family. Your heart goes out, you know what I mean? You grew up with Michael Jackson. You grew up with Farrah Fawcett. You grew up with that.
You look on the things for your own self and the things how you take in and what people put in you to try to make you you. So,
that's an important thing, too. The thing about it is, what we talk about on this show, people say, you know what, man, that's an untimely death. No, it's not untimely. If nothing happens within this universe that is not checked off by universe, period. Those things are of choice. So your heart goes for the physical mourning or the physical loss of the people, but when you start looking at it and you see some of the stuff that's coming out right now about what was going on, this man was pre-warned about taking some of that stuff he was taking. He was pre-warned about that, but when we look at that and the more knowledge and the more experience we have and the more understanding we have about universal laws, we understand that everything that happens in our lives is about choice. What do we choose to do? What do we choose to put our attention on? Where's our subconscious mind? What do you think we are manifesting God. That's what we do. That's what we put here to do. We're put here to manifest to create. That's what we do. Whether we're here to create novels, books, information, to teach, to help, to whatever it is, it starts with a mental state. I mean, come on, man. It starts with a mental state. So,
but we have to be careful about the things we put out and the things we teach too, as well. You know that they're on a good level or a proper level,
a proper vibrating frequency level. Because you know me with that good or bad, I don't even get into that. Here's what it is. You know what I mean? Once again, is that sweet or is that bitter? Is that half full or half empty?
You look at things with your kids or something. You know, you want them to be individuals or something, but you know you have some kind of influence on their lives, but you don't want them to be you. You know, and you don't want them to be the things that you want it to be.
Right. Well, see, here's the deal. Everybody has a path. What would it be for us to infringe on somebody's path? Whether it's our child or whatever it might be, that's not.
But have you ever felt like someone infringed on your path?
But you know what? Not without me letting them. That's the difference. When I was young, I realized Jim had a choice. Jim got his own mind. Jim got his own willpower. And I give all gratitude and thanks to God, man, for my father and his teaching, bro. Because it was about it. Jim, set your mind to it. Don't let nobody get in the way. You know what I mean?
I have someone around me the same way, you know. But, you know, what about the people who don't, you know? And that's what I really wanted to, like, try to put out there just for that moment, just right now or something, that we do. We always had a choice, the will, to do the changes that we want and never let nobody.
What happens is, a lot of people don't understand there are energy struggles all day long, all times, all points of our lives. There's energy struggle. A lot of scriptures might tell you there's fighting going on between heaven and earth or heaven and hell. But when you get down to it, there's energy, and that's kind of what you're talking about. People can actually, if they understand how to project energy in a certain way, they can't overpower you if you are not aware of what's going on. You have to be aware. Not only do you have to manage your energy, you have to be aware of where your energy is going and what's going on with it and who may be trying to rob it. That's very important. You know what I mean? Energy vampires, very, very important. Sucking you dry. And what happens? The higher you vibrate, the more other lower vibrating entities and energies wants to come to you. Listen, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have Vincent Gray with the Pro Christ. Beautiful cover, beautiful book. And we're going to have his website information for you to be able to purchase his book. And I told him when he hit the studio today that I want the first copy. And not only that, I want him to autograph this copy too. So we are looking forward to talking with this young entrepreneur, this young man. And we are going to be right back. We're going to take us a minute, 2 minute commercial break, and we will be right back.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Hustler's Spirit Radio.
Go ahead, Dan, in the radio.
Welcome back to A Hustler's Spirit Radio with your host Jim, Judy, Ken, and Greg.
Hey, welcome back. This is Jim Ferguson for Hustler's Spirit Radio, and you're listening to BBS Radio.com. And in the studio today, we have a young man that has wrote a book, and the name of the book is called The Pro-Christ, Vincent, spelled V-E-N-S-I-N, Gray. What is happening today with you, man? Thank you for coming into the show, dude. We appreciate it. What's going on with you?
Hey, thanks for having me here, Jen. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I cannot complain. I got a chance to get on your website. I took a quick view last week. And I love the website. I love the cover of the book. I love what you wrote. And before we even get cranked out, here's what we are going to do. Let you give that website information, man, where they can take a look at what you wrote and also take a look at purchasing that book, because we want you to get that book out there, man. Go ahead and tell the people out there, man, what is your website address?
My website address is VincentGray.com. That's VincentGray.com. They can go there, read poetry, get the book from Barnes & Noble or Amazon, either one. They can just search The Pro-Christ, or even go into your local Barnes & Noble and request it, and they'll send it in.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. Now, today, I'm going to give everybody out there the telephone number to call in if you got any questions. And also, wait a minute, man, let's also talk about, too, man, you are a marketing major. Is that correct?
I used to be a marketing major when I went to Northwood University. I'm actually a history major now at Cleveland State.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That sounds good to me. So not only I can see you did an excellent job on getting everything up with this book, man. I love that cover. I love the colors. I love the whole thing about this book. This is the phone, everybody. Listen up. 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. We got Mr. Vincent Gray in the house today. Man, now listen, what inspired you? Because I'm in the process now, man. I've got these notes, and you can take a look at this studio and see the books that I got up in here and the notes that I got up in here. I am in the process of doing the same thing, too. Now, what inspired you, man, to write The Pro-Christ? What inspired you to do that?
Well, our book writing experience would be a little different because you're probably writing a nonfiction book, and you have to have proof for everything. When you write in a fiction book, you're kind of the creator of everything, so anything that you want to go can go down. What inspired me to write The Pro-Christ, I tried to write a lot of books growing up, you know, since I was in middle school, but nothing ever flew because I always tried to write about places that I'd never been before and tried to imagine how it would be. So then finally I sat down and just said I had to write about where I'm from, Cleveland. And, you know, I grew up in the church, and just, you know, I thought the Antichrist, and I thought, you know, what would sell, and I thought, you know, The Pro-Christ was something perfect, you know, something that goes against the Antichrist other than just saying Jesus, or, you know, we can go against them, but,
right,
you know, just something else to, you know, give people hope.
Okay, okay. Well, now, you know what? Now, I'm going to ask you this. So, basically, just how it looks, what made you come up, I know that you kind of touched that in your first statement, what made you touch on the name Pro-Christ? Because what did you want to do? Just basically put something out there different than the anti. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, I know I've never heard of Pro-Christ before. I actually realized not too long ago that there is actually a group called Pro-Christ, and I just want everybody to know my book has nothing affiliated with the group Pro-Christ.
Okay, okay.
So the Pro-Christ is completely, I created my version of it the way I am, and you know, you just have to read the book to really understand what the Pro-Christ is and all that he does.
Okay, okay, got you. Now, here's the deal. Let me ask you this question, man. And we're going to get into the publishing process, but tell the listeners out there a little bit about, you know, what the book is about. Tell us the content, a little bit of content about the book.
Well, the book is about a pastor who just created his own church. Well, not created his own church, but basically he received his church from his father.
Gotcha.
And he was a younger man, really not ready for it, but he took it on anyway. And he was struggling between, you know, keeping his relationship with God, keeping his relationship with his family, and trying to, you know, start this church at the same time. So it just goes for about him, you know. But then the ultimate thing is the coming of the Antichrist and trying to prolong it, and that's what the Pro-Christ is.
Okay.
And, you know, a few mysterious men come in and teach him about Christianity, some of his origins, and I mean, that's when the story gets fun, is when you start reading about, you know, Christina and her child, and, you know, an angel, and, you know, a hellish place. It's a lot of fun.
Now, let me ask you this question, too. Now, we know that this is a fiction book. Is some of the contents of the book, is it coming from some experiences that you've had in your life that would, you know, I'm assuming, you know what I mean, for you to come up with the idea and the feeling? So could you tell me a little bit, was anything that kind of triggered you to write this, man?
Yeah, you know what, I met a lot of ministers and pastors in my life, and some of them made me real uncomfortable. So I tried to write a book about a pastor who was perfectly imperfect but still very likable.
Okay.
And I tried to make him make all the right decisions, even when, you know, others may have went a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want him to make anybody feel uncomfortable. Like I used to feel uncomfortable, you know, in church or around certain people because they just, it's just that vibe they gave me. It just, they felt like I didn't belong to be there with them, or I didn't belong there with them.
Right, right. You know what? As we hit the streets and we talk to people out there, a lot of times people, what happens is that the power of being a pastor, the power of being a priest, the power of being a minister, a elder, or whatever you may call it, has to be respected, and it also has to be acknowledged that people of what we give those people those names are able to influence and change the mindsets and feelings of a lot of people by what you say, you know, by what's being said. So when you say something like, you know what, I really felt uncomfortable, and we hear what goes on is that we hear a lot of preaching about personal feelings than necessarily preaching or teaching as far as their knowledge of what scriptures are saying. And, you know, did you have any experience, you know, because normally when people say, I feel uncomfortable, what made you feel uncomfortable? A statement, a comment, you know, multiple comments over a period of time to say, wait a minute, I'm not feeling this. What are you teaching? Because a lot of times I've asked multiple people, you went to church, you've been there for about 2 hours, what did you learn today? And the people say, well, I heard some good singing, but what did you learn today? What did you learn? How did you feel? Well, pastor said something that kind of twisted my stomach. Well, what did pastor say? See, and what my thing was when I went to church, when I was growing up in Bethany Baptist Church, matter of fact, off 105 in Hampton. That was the first, that's the only church I ever really knew. I questioned. I mean, my mother had to take me into the pastor, and I laid down questions for this man, period. It was to a point where my mother told me, you cannot be my son. I said, why, mama? Because if you ain't taking this wholeheartedly, If you're not accepting this wholeheartedly, then you could not have came from me. I said, then I must not have. But I'm going to question what you're preaching to me. And the pastor welcomed that. And I respected that with that man. Because the questions were valid. They were valid questions. Question the 12-year-old, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know why is there suffering here. I want to know. What are you teaching me, man? Are you you telling me I got to do this and do that to go to heaven? Well, if I don't, what happens? It make me a bad person. It make me a bad guy. It make me a bad young man. What does it do? Why is there suffering, Pastor? Why is there untimely death, Pastor, as far as we say? Well, I had to search for those answers, man. I had to search for them. So I think everybody has a path to follow. That's very important. And for you to make that statement, that's a very important statement. I think a lot of people, not only when they get the book and read it, they can relate to that. Because I don't think there's too many people out here that haven't had some experiences they necessarily, you know what I mean, not feeling that great about. That's why you have so many change of church families. You know, you get one guy coming to church, you might have changed five church families, man, till you get one that suits your internal. So that's very important, too. So, with that, I guess what's definitely on the forefront of my mind is, what is the pro-Christ?
What is the Antichrist? It's the opposite of the Antichrist, basically. Does anybody who, just basically the book explains it as a man who's so strong in his faith that even during the torments of hell, he freed himself from everything. You know, and that's how, you know, the name came about. It's just somebody who can, you know, free themselves, even, you know, during the sad times, during the hard times, when they're sort of like Job, when everything's taken away. You know, some people would say Job's a pro-Christ after reading this book, because when everything's taken away, you can still say, you know, I'm still a believer.
Now, that's an excellent point, but I'm going to tell you something, too. When you look at the biblical character of Job, are we not at our best when we are stressed? Do you then find out who you are? Do you find out how your patience? You find out your understanding? You find out what your virtues are? Do you not see that? Are you not at your best? I don't know if you played any sports. You played any sports in school? Did you play them?
Yeah, I played briefly.
Okay. And we mean briefly?
I played middle school, and my first year in high school, I played football.
And that first year of high school playing football, let me tell you something. Depending on how vigorous your training was, you were living pretty much, if you had any training like we did when we played, buddy, we was living right at that soul level. I mean, to a point of, man, you didn't know whether you were going to die, you didn't know whether or not you were going to make that last 100-yard sprint, whether or not you did the next heel. And I mean, there's days and situations that go on in my life now, I reach back to those football days. That builds character. And these things out here, the challenges that we go through in our lives, the situations, I don't look at nothing ever being a problem. See, that's my three-dimensional thinking. I look at everything as a challenge. A problem is only something when we do not agree that something has happened. When I say to myself that I'm denying, it's no more different if I make this situation. You go outside and get into your car and you get a flat tire a mile from here. You say, whoa, man, I got a big problem with this flat. No, you got a challenge. You got a spare tire and you got a jack. Once you recognize and you realize that you're not under denial about you having a flat, you can take your behind back in the back of the trunk and pull that spare tire out with that jack. It does not become a problem anymore. Now it becomes a challenge. Just get the tire off, put the tire on, and let's keep rolling. That's how I look at life. That's exactly how I look at life. And I think when we do that, we can get the best out of life. And we can touch those scenarios and those challenges and take a look at things in a three-dimensional view. A lot of teachings and a lot of false teachings and false understandings about religion is the fact of not wanting you to recognize that you have the ability to think, to make a choice, that you have a choice, and that you have a mind that you can use. Whatever circumstances that you're going through, because you were telling me today before we got on the air, you've got a relative in town, right?
Well, he's from here.
From here. He's, right. But at the same time, he's going through some situations, right?
Exactly.
And we'll talk about it when we come off a break, because what did I tell you, man? Not time when you know what I mean? It's time to get the ammo now when you come up with that. You don't fall down and you don't lay down.
Well, I don't think he's going to lay down, but, you know, I had something to say earlier, you know, about like a lot of like beliefs and stuff, but like when you go to church and the pastors and stuff like that, we have to all remember that they're human just like us.
Right.
They might have beliefs and doubts about a lot of things and stuff, so you go for understanding for them to be a little knowledgeable or a little more knowledgeable than you, but you have to go out and get it yourself as well. You know, they can come short just like we come short. And you can't go there looking for them to have every answer in your life.
Well, see, that's the first thing that a person do anyway when they hit the church doors anyway. You see what I'm saying? Which you hold all the answers yourself before you even hit the door. You've got the answer. You're connected to the answers because you're... But that's 100% right.
Because
what you said.
Then when you feel uncomfortable with them, did you ever think about, you know, I could make this guy just as uncomfortable as he makes me uncomfortable?
I did. I called my mother, and she went and fought my battle for me. I was at the time, I was only 18 when I was challenged by a pastor, and my mother went and spoke with him, you know, as an adult.
So let me ask you a question. When you say you were challenged, what was something was said? You were challenging that man's authority, or what was going on?
I was challenging his authority over his stepdaughter. He was uncomfortable that I spoke with her, her biological father, about taking her to the prom, and he was asking me a lot of very uncomfortable questions. I didn't think that, you know, he or anybody should really be asking me at that point.
Okay. So that's part of some of the uncomfortable feeling that you had, was you had a relationship with his daughter. Basically, you were dating his daughter or
yes.
dating his daughter. Okay. Well, what that do too when you see that, it lets you see a person. Basically, what you did was, long story short, you distressed the situation, man. You was able to see some real out of it. That's what you were able to see. But see, what you did was probably, and hold me to this. Because you looked at him being a pastor, you looked at him trying to be above the things that were coming out of his mouth. So we get back to your point, Ken, is the fact of that, you know, you got to understand, that man put his pants on like you do. You understand me what I'm saying? And that's how, and you know,
true.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
How do you feel about that, Greg?
Well, I agree with it. The thing that, what was sticking with me was, You have to question everything. You can't just be like sheep. As Jim was saying, you have to ask those questions. You can't just assume what's being told to you is the truth. Because a lot of things have been skewed through time. You know what I'm saying?
And right. You talk up just a little bit, Big Daddy. Talk up just a little bit. Now, what'd you say now?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
No, I said you have to question everything. You can't just assume what's being told to you is the exact truth. And in the Bible, a lot of things could have been skewed, you know, a little bit. And, you know, not to say that what has happened didn't happen, but you have to do your research on it.
You have to do that, man. Not only do you have to do that, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if everything else on this planet ain't been touched, I'm not going to sit here and act like that Bible ain't been touched either, because we know it has been. Listen, we're going to break. We got Mr. Vincent Gray in the house today with us, the author of The Pro-Christ. We'll be talking back with him, asking him some questions about this wonderful book. And stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Hustler Spirit Radio. Welcome back to A Hustler Spirit Radio with your host Jim, Judy, Ken, and Greg.
Welcome back. This is Jim Ferguson, Hustler Spirit Radio. I am your host. And today, wonderful day today, we got Mr. Vincent Gray in the house, the author of The Pro Christ. And wonderful book. We have been chopping it up about the book. We're about to get to some in-depth things in a minute, man. You ready for it?
Always ready.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Now, why we got a caller from Nashville, man. Let's see what we're talking about. Who out there? Hello? Carl, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. What is your question today, my friend?
So, Vincent Gray, I'd like to ask, although the book is fiction, are the characters in the book a personification of real people? And if so, is he able to divulge those people? And if not, from what inspiration were these characters created?
That's a very good question, Michael. For the most part, most of the characters in a book are all made-up people. Some of the lessons that the main character, Victor, gets throughout the book, I believe there's one where there's a mechanic that he's from a real person. But from the most part, most people are just all fiction-based people because, you know what I mean, it's a string of a lot of different qualities, and they all put in together. They all built up Victor in the end.
Okay. Well, I hope the book is a success. Mine is on the way. I pick it up tomorrow from UPS, so I'm looking forward to be a good read, my brother.
All right. Thank you for purchasing the book, Michael.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, man. Appreciate you calling. Definitely like his question. You know what, it's something too I want to ask you about that. Now, you know, and that's something I can't really say, man, that I've ever read a fiction book, you know, of this nature. And I think that's the mystic part that's drawing me to this cover, drawing me to this book. But there's a story behind each character.
Yes, there's a story. There's a story behind every character. Every character, the way they are, all the characters in the book somewhat has an effect on Victor. Well, they have to because he tells the story, but
okay,
they all build up him in different sort of ways. You know, some make him feel this way, others make him feel a different way. This is all in how Victor takes it and perceives it.
Now Victor is the main character. Victor's the main character. Now, what would you say is Victor's main purpose, or his main struggle, or his main learning lesson? I mean, what exactly do the people out there kind of understand exactly what his character does?
Well, Victor's main character is that of a pastor and a family man.
Okay, gotcha.
And Victor meets different people throughout the book who opens his eyes to other things that he never let open because he's been so devoted inside the Bible and God that he didn't really open up his eyes to see. You know, that he was not with his family. He was not doing things with them. And it just really, so I remember I used to talk to some people sometimes, and they spoke about not just a pastor, but just like how the father is missing from the house. Even though he may be there, he's still not really there. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to show, you know, how it can't change, basically.
That's an excellent point, because that's something that we get into quite a bit in the show. And here's what we get into. What we deal with is on the subject matter and the topics of balancing your life. Period. You get into a point where people can lose themselves on one thing, and then what you lose yourself on, the other thing that you don't put your attention on, they will dissolve. They will deteriorate. What the whole aura of this life is about balancing. And so if you're teaching that, if you have that in your book, that's going to hit home with a lot of people, because yes, I've experienced that, being a father, of where you're working 18 hours a day and you're working 17 hours a day, man, you're doing this stuff 7 days a week, and you don't even see your kids grow up. You blink and they're crawling. You blink again and they're talking about, "Daddy, can I have the keys to the car?" It's just that, I mean, you know, and then you have to ask yourself, what have I done? Where am I going? What's going on? What have I achieved? You know, you start getting into all of that. So I'm looking forward to when I get this first copy of getting into that, to see how in-depth you get with Victor and being that. Now, let me ask you a question. This character, how much on this type of character did you pull from your experiences with the pastors that, let's say, in your life? Did anything coming from that, or did this...
Not really. He's not really, I try to make him he's a very raw character. Like,
okay.
he has his own unique, you know, personification of himself. Okay. I've met a few people since writing about him that, like, you know, this reminds me of him.
Right.
You know, and real quick, I want to let the listeners know where they can get the book from.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
www.vincentgray.com. That's VNSINGRAY.com. It's up 24 hours a day. You can get it whenever you want to. BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon, or just search it.
Okay, sounds like a one of them. You got to do that. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, is this information, are you, what other website member are you? Are you, you got Facebook going on? I mean,
I'm also a Facebook member. You can follow me on Twitter, you know, twitter.com/VincentGray. I'm also on MySpace. Just search Vincent Gray. I think I even have a tagged account, whatever that is.
Right.
Vincent Gray. They even asked me for my elementary school I went to.
Okay.
You know, the same people I went to school with. It's just, you know, the social network is it's a very good thing to go when you're trying to market anything nowadays.
Right.
Because it's very inexpensive. You know, it takes a lot of your time, but, you know, for the most part, it's good.
It's well worth it. I think it's well worth it. I think this is definitely going to be a hot book for the summer. For years to come. So it is off the chain, man. It is off the chain. And then what we're gonna do too, and I wanna get with Vincent on, a little bit of information about people out there that's in the process and they have the idea of wanting to write a book, wanting to write a life story, wanting to write fiction, maybe a children's book. You know what I mean? Because you're talking. You did this book. I mean, it took some time. You know, I know you put a lot of hard work in it. You can look at the quality of it. You know that. But at the same time, what was the publishing process, man? I mean, what did you have to... I mean, I know you had to get out there and sell this, baby.
Yeah, the publishing process was very long. I'd say I wrote this book when I was 18. I started when I was 18, finished right before my 19th birthday. And from then, it's a very long process because, especially if you don't know a lot of editors. You know, so I tried to go through iUniverse first because I self-published. I tried to go through iUniverse. They liked the book. They liked the idea, but they ripped it to shreds because they had poor editing. So that's when I decided to go out and find a real editor. And, you know, it's very expensive to get, you know, somebody who's going to really keep your ideas but put it into a way that makes sense to the reader. So I happened to meet up with a very great editor, and she helped me throughout the whole process.
Perfect.
You know, once you get, because she's been there for a long time, so I would suggest to them is find a good editor. You know, through the publishing process, you know, it's really tough to do everything alone. just get a good editor and just go through that. If you're going to self-publish, you know, right, save up some money, get some ideas. And if you're going to try to get lucky and try to get a contract with one of the big publishing companies, you know, make sure that their idea is your idea. You know, make sure they don't bully you just because
it's not changed somewhere down the line from your actual original writing. You want to make sure that it stays in alignment with your whole message.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, The Pro Christ was like I said, it was written when I was 18. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I had a lot of ideas. If you go to the website where you see, you can read about a review that The Pro Christ got. Somebody said that a lot of first-time writers, they change their books so much. Well, I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to keep what I
original
had,
state, yes.
original state.
Right.
You know, and that's why The Pro Christ is what it is today.
Right. Perfect, man. That is perfect. Let me ask you this question. Very important for me to ask you this. Did you have any brief times or feelings that you felt that this book was not going to get done? Did you have anything to go through? Or did you immediately say, you know what? This is a done deal. Baby, this book is going to be done. You know what I mean? It just, even though the process might have been long, that's opinion-based.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some people take 10 years to write a book, so yours, but you know what I'm saying. But did you have any situations where you kind of felt like, ooh, man, I'm taking a head crack?
First off, you know, when I writing The Pro Christ, I was still in high school. I went to Northwood. I was a full-time student. Right now, I'm still a full-time student, working full-time. So it became very discouraging. But I always knew that the book was going to come out. I always knew that The Pro Christ was going to become a book that was out and available for people to purchase. I didn't want to be one of those people who printed it myself and sold it out the back, you know, the back of my trunk. I wanted
right.
it to be everywhere available.
Right.
And, you know, it gets discouraging sometimes because, you know, I'll be so busy. I don't really have a lot of time to really put myself, you know, into the book.
Right.
But now that The Pro Christ is out, I'm very, I guess just seeing it out on the internet, just knowing that, hey, you know, other people can go and read it. Now.
Right, right.
You know, I might
that's gotta be a wonderful feeling, man.
Oh, yeah. It's a great feeling to know that something I worked so hard on is finally out. You
right.
know, it's like a kid,
right.
you know, like you have a kid and they're finally doing something that you raised them to do, right?
Right.
You kind of feel good. So that's what The Pro Christ is to me.
Right. Well, this is your baby. I mean, this is your baby. This is yours. This is it. I'm sitting there. I mean, I'm looking. I'm holding the copy in my hand right now, man. I mean, and brother, this is off the chain. I mean, it is. So I definitely recommend this book. I've got a chance to look at your website. You've got poetry on your website too, don't you?
Yes. Actually, and that's I've been on MySpace for a while, sending millions and millions of messages
gotcha.
To get, you know, my book out there. And most people, they don't even say anything about the fact that I wrote a book. They actually read the poem that I have on there, and they ask me, you know, where can they read more at?
Right.
So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm just seeing different avenues of where I can go to sell my book,
right?
Because I just, you know, it's about the book. You know, I'm glad that I'm a great poet,
right.
but you know, the poetry I do for myself. This right here, I wrote The Pro Christ for the world. I want the world to see my views on just, you know, just something fun. You know, it's a very fun book. You know, go out and buy The Pro Christ today at www.vincentgray.com.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Because here's the deal: you put the product out there, all the people have to do is put this in their hands. They just got to go get it. They have to go get it. And I like that point, too, when you said you're a great poet. I like that. A lot of people may not pick that up, but automatically, and that's going to make you become a greater poet. One thing about it, when we get into situations like this, when I ask you the question about actually having discouragement about this book, here's what happens on a metaphysical plane that we get into. When you, as a soul going through a human experience, when you make movement by universal law, by the law that God has wrote, universe must make a step towards you. And with that comes your editor, your friends, your family. Doors opening. You just got to keep knocking. You got to keep moving. And you got to have faith. See, all this stuff without active faith, not going to get this done. You got to have activity backed by it. And standing here, seeing this book, in the studio, that means Vincent had to move. And that's inspiring for anybody out there that wants to do that. And I'm pretty sure they can get on the Facebook, they can talk to you, ask questions about what happened, because you seem to be a young man that you will not hold that information back for people. And that's one thing about it, man. It's sharing that information, doing it. But when you go to his website, you're able to see that this man's ideas is put right here in his book. You're able to see it. I know it's going to be a fun read. And like I said before, I want my copy autograph, man. So when it makes the million mark, I want my mark number one. Jim number one. That's what I want you to do, man. I don't want to get that number five or six. I want my number one. So that is a very, very wonderful thing to see, man. And it's definitely, and I can see it in you, dude. You vibrate sitting here in the studio. It's a very high vibrating frequency with this young man. And, man, I know you got a lot more books to come. Poetry, get that cranking out there too. I want, you know, definitely push that. And also on your next one, man, I want you to make sure that you mention the Hustler Spirit Radio, because it's your first radio interview, baby. So I want you to realize that I got to push myself too. Go to HustlerSpirit.com. I want you to get live on it. What you say about that, Big Daddy?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, you know, because we were talking about that earlier, you know, and I said something that a lot of things that we've been going at, you know, we kind of like been kind of dragging a little
procrastination,
bit.
Procrastination, dude. Keep calling it where you call it.
And I said, we got to push 10 times harder because, I mean, universal answer, if we're pushing 10 times hard, he'll push 10 times harder for us.
What is the law of attraction and repulsion talk about, man? That means equal or greater force. You make a step, universe will make two. You get yourself in alignment with universe, and baby, you all you got to do is go on for the ride.
And I want my to be uncommon.
You're supposed to be. Keep it real. You're supposed to have it like that, man. If a person don't go in and ask for the kingdom and expect the kingdom, there's something wrong. You know what I mean? I'm not going to a Hyundai dealership, man. Take me to my GT Bentley, dude. What's up? 326-35. That's how much it's running, baby. I want that convertible with the coach guts. Let's have it. You understand me what I'm saying? I got the wheels picked out already.
Oh,
so,
my claws are already on there.
That's what I'm saying, man. You got to have it, baby. I know where to go in L.A. I know where to go. But with that, in all things, everything is possible with the possible mindset. Everything is possible. There is no can. This man solidifies this with his book, The Pro Christ. Vincent Gray, wonderful, man. It is wonderful. I'm going to tell you something, too. Vincent, it's wonderful having you on the show. I know we're going to get into some more topics, and I think if, depending on how your schedule is, with you pushing your book, you're going to let us and keep us informed. If you've got any book shows, any signings going on, you're going to let us know about that, so we can tell everybody listening what's going on. You know, we look forward, man, to having you back. See how your schedule goes. You have to get in contact with us, see how your schedule goes for next week, see if you can get back up in here, man, because there's some things that I want to ask you. Some things that, you know, we want to talk about and where your mindset is, you know, and let's bring some, you know, some of those things to life. Definitely want to do that. I know, you know, you tell me how you feel about it.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you and Ken for having me on the show, and Greg White, too, and Jim Ferguson. This is a great little opportunity for me. I was very nervous at the beginning. But
you're smooth with it, though. You're smooth right now, bro. You know what I mean?
I try to go through it. Let me talk about some great things here, bring up some great topics, and I encourage all the listeners to call in more, tell your friends, tell your buddies about it. You know, log in, bbs.radio.com, tune into Station 2 every Wednesday from 9 to 10 o'clock. We'll be here. I'll be here next week for sure. Also, if you want to get the Pro Christ, go to www.vincentgray.com, go to Barnes & Noble's, request it, or go to Amazon. But it's there for everybody. But again, go to hustlerspirits.com. You know, Jim Ferguson, Ken, Greg White, and sometimes Judy. It's a great show, great opportunity, and I encourage everybody to continue listening. Thank you for having me.
Man, appreciate it, baby. We appreciate it.
He's a pro. He sounds like a pro already.
Doesn't he sound like that? It's a very, 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 very proud thing to have this man sit here, man. And I'm getting text messages in right now. And in this text message that I'm getting in right now, the poem, What Happened, that's the name of the poem, is very nice. And the cover is cool and very nice. Get a text message. You see, I might have another one here, man. Let me see if I got one, too. I got a new phone. I got to excuse me. But definitely got a little call in with that, man, on my private phone. Very nice, dude. And I read your poem too, man. I'm gonna tell you something. Are you thinking about writing any books? You thinking about writing any books with poems?
I'm thinking about it. I'm actually helping a friend of mine out now. She's trying to get her book of poetry out first, so I just want to help her out with hers. Selling poetry is so difficult, you know. Selling poetry is more getting into a bigger poetry book and then eventually selling it after you, you know, have speeches and stuff in the back. You know, but selling poetry is so much more difficult than, you know, nonfiction is easier to sell, then fiction's the next, and then, you know, poetry is the most difficult to sell out of them. Because not everybody, you know, is going to agree with your poetry the way that it sounds. It's not going to sound the same to them as you did when you wrote it. So, you know, I don't really see myself coming out with one unless, like, it's just demanded. You know, we live in the state, you know, the country that we live in, you know, supply and demand. People want it, I got to give it to them, right?
Right. And at the same time, too, I know you're going global. You know? Now, what'd you say, Greg?
I said, you see, what he's doing, he's paying it forward. He's helping her, giving her a step forward to get her book done. So it's going to come back around and help him even more.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm paying it forward by helping her out. Exactly. Yeah. And he can do it in such a way that it doesn't take from himself. And that's something that we get into a tremendous amount on this show. Because we're not meant to come here to give that will take from ourselves. Because God, universe itself, will never take from someone else to give to you. Stuff will be created in me. That's just how that goes. Never take from itself. So what we can do, and we talk about this quite often, is what happened is, people, we can get lost into certain facets of life, man, that where we rob ourselves. And you don't get no chocolate chip cookie for that one. You don't get no applause on the back.
You just have to be a good greedy.
You have to be greedy. Without a doubt. Well, but that's part of the balancing act, man. That's part of the balancing act. Is to be able to balance yourself with what you can give back, not take from yourself, and that it will not hinder you from producing and making more for you. Because technically, you're your captain of your own ship. Man, listen, the steering wheel, the cars I got one steering wheel in them, baby. I ain't in driver's ed. You understand me? And my dash wraps around for me. That shit don't wrap around for everybody else. I don't even let nobody know how fast I'm going. You sit in the seat, shut up and deal with it. That's how we do it here, baby. That's how we do it here.
Whatever you put in, make sure it's good for you.
That's it, man. Make sure it's in the line.
Money.
Make sure it is good for yourself, without a doubt. Listen, I'm gonna tell you another thing too, man. I'm gonna give another shout out to this book. Let's make sure we lock this book in, man. The Poor Christ. Vincent Gray. Well, shout out for that. Definitely, man, where's that website at again? Let's get to that website, man. Vincent Gray. What is it say? Yeah, VincentGray.com. Well, go there. Check it out. We've got people already texting in, talking about they're looking at the poetry. Man, I don't know. I see you writing a book. I see you doing something, man. I Big Daddy, you got it going on. And I'm very proud of you, man. I'm very proud of you to see what you have done. And looking for now. Let me ask you a question. One quick question. I want to ask you: when is this book? Is it actually? Are we ready at Barnes and Noble right now? Okay, are we ready, or we got to go online first right now? I mean, what we got?
Well, you can always go into Barnes and Noble, and if they don't have it, which more than likely they won't have it yet, you can always just say, you know, can you order this?
Okay. Okay. Great. That's perfect. And all right, man. Well, listen. That's definitely. Well, we're gonna look forward to you for the next week, and we're going to keep it popping and keep it moving. Now, what's up with your week, man? What's up with your week for the week coming up, Ken? I mean, what you got going on, man? You seem to be like you got your suave on today, man. I mean, you flowing, dude. I see you got your shirt. It ain't iron, but still, you got it on. What's up, guys?
None of that matters.
It don't matter? What's
none
up?
I'm talking about
clock. Matter.
It don't matter.
That's what I'm talking about, Big Daddy. It don't matter if you got a wrinkle here or a wrinkle there. Do it.
Because I'm staying on it. You can't come to me if I don't stay on it.
My man, now let's talk about that. You got to stay dead on it. You got to put your one eye on it, Big Daddy. In the day's time, you got to put two eyes on it. Matter of fact, you might need three.
Because if you look up, it's going so fast. And
but they ain't going to jump in.
I'm not worried about the quickness.
Right.
I'm just going to be here. So I...
My man.
I'm going to be there. Whether I come with my wrinkled shirt or not, you know.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to be there whether you get through the gates or not. You're going to say, my presence
was there. New shoes or new socks or old shoes. I will be there.
That's what I'm talking about. And you might have your shit turned inside out.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm saying. You say it's more comfortable like that.
Yes, sir.
I tried it one day. It was a little bit more comfortable like
but
that.
But I will be there.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you, boy, you seem to be on fire today, man. What's up? Well, oh, my God. Greg, what's up for you this week, man, before we get up out of here? What's up today?
It's been a busy week, and welcome and working on people and helping people out, and it's been just great. People have really been responding, and that's the whole thing. If you can stop blaming people for things that are happening to you and realize that you are responsible for what happens to you, whether it's negative or positive, and once you accept that, then you can move forward. That's how you get to move on. And I worked that with one person, an individual today, and it was really miraculous how once they realized that they were trying to blame other people for them being in the situation as to what they were in, and they realized that, hey, I'm the one that's holding you back. And they were able to release a lot of stuff, and you can see it with time change, and I think that's really, it's an awesome thing today. So things are going real good with me, so I'm keeping busy.
Hey, that's perfect, man. That is perfect. You sound like you laid back, cool, sitting down, baby. You know what I mean? You sound like that. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what, man? Every time I speak to you, Greg, you sound like your cool is just picking up a notch, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just sound smooth with it. I'm proud of you, Greg. I'm proud of you. But I'm going to tell you something. All bullcrap aside, man, what you just said is one of the most important things. And before I get out of here, I want to touch that. Is the fact of that we're not to blame ourselves, and we're not to blame anybody else, but we are to take responsibility for what happens in our lives because we created them. We have to take responsibility. When we give that responsibility off to somewhere, to somebody or something else, that's when we lose. We lose every single time. We cannot win at this game of life not taking responsibility for our lives and for the things in our lives. One of the most important things, one of the most kept secrets about life, is just taking responsibility. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to beat anybody else up. It is about holding responsibility for yourself, for your actions, for your spiritual nurturing, for your learning, for your success, your prosperity. It is personal. And it needs to be looked at that way. That's just, I mean, and when you see that, when you talk to anybody on a success end or a person that have made changes in their lives and have been flexible, we tend to be non-flexible. Man, it's not going to cut it today. You get a building that doesn't flex, it breaks. You get a tree that doesn't flex, it breaks. You get a car that does not flex, it will break. Life is the same basic way. We just have to look at that, man. So, Greg, that's a perfect point to end the show with, man. I appreciate, once again, I give my gratitude to all that have tuned in today, man. I wish you guys to tune in to us next week. And next week, man, I'm going to make you promise, man. You're going to be back here next week. We're going to talk about some in-depth things. We'll talk about a little bit of history. You're a history major. We're about to get here cracking on it next week. Listen, Jim Ferguson, and for Ken, and for Greg, appreciate everybody listening today. May universe always, always keep its arms around you. Talk to you next week. Greg, I'm going to talk to you next week, buddy.